We really are more than we know. I can't tell you how many years that I longed for such a people. God first revealed to me his, what I call the magnitude of Calvary's victory, back in about 1970, 71. And for so many years, I began to have such a relationship with God, but I couldn't find any fellowship. Nobody understood what I had experienced. And at the time, I didn't have the expression to even share what I was experiencing. And I long desperately to reveal this unconditional love of God that I was experiencing. And when I began to experience this, as many of you have heard, I was a mess in my ability to walk a godly life. But in that, I experienced this unconditional love of God. And I wanted so desperately to reveal this. And one of the things God spoke to me so clearly was that you will not share unconditional love until you become the message. Until God reveals the truth of your being, you really are more than you know. I'm still more than I know. But we're coming into the revelation that we are so, there is such a magnificent essence of God being formed in us that takes away all of the negativity. It takes away all of the pointing of the finger. It takes away all of your aspirations to bring change to anybody. When you can come to the place where you realize that there's nothing wrong, there's nothing needs to be fixed, how else could you come into such a peace and such a flowing relationship with God if you still think that you need to fix something or fix someone?
Or somebody's not measuring up.
When I was so desperate for God, there was a, and you know what? I don't even remember who it was, but it's remained with me for years. When I was so desperate to walk in the reality of the love of God and walk in the reality of the kingdom, a preacher once said to me, he said, "Gary, you don't have anything to be concerned about because there's a substance in you like the cream in milk, and cream always rises to the top." You know, there's certain things that's ministered to you throughout your life that you just cling on to. And another thing someone said to me, that your gift will always make room for you. You don't have to make room. And I, those kind of statements rang so true with me, and I began to see that experience come into my life. I have had, for instance, I've had two different jobs where I started on the receiving dock of a company, driving a fork truck, and ended up in one of the top positions of the company. Without any effort, the only thing I ever did was the best I knew how to do in the job that I was doing. And I don't even have a high school education. There was a time when I went from a receiving dock to being one of the main buyers of a company that dealt with government contracts, and I began to negotiate million-dollar contracts with companies. But it was because way back in my early years, I first had my first experience with God in 1969.
And just by me experiencing that unconditional love of God and being able to have confidence in myself. And I think you know what I mean, that we need to begin to have confidence in ourselves. Not that little egotistic thing, but the self, the real self. The Eastern religions call it the realization of self. That used to offend me when I first heard it. But now I know what they mean. When you become acquainted, I think it was Barbara said, you need to take the time to get to know yourself. Because when you take the time to sit in the quiet and you get to know yourself, you will find the most magnificent things coming to you. We have been so degraded by Christianity. I once gave a message I called Overcoming Degraded Christianity. We have been so downgraded by the teachings of religion. There has been an evolution of consciousness. And today, well, you know, you can even see that in the natural. Look at where we've come in the last. You know, my grandparents didn't have electricity. They used to wash their clothes on a washboard. My mother was born the year Geronimo died. They were still having Indian wars. And just as the man's consciousness has evolved, so has our spiritual awareness evolved. And we're in such a wonderful period of time right now. To where we're even me, you know, I'm uneducated, but I'm beginning to understand some quantum physics. Because we're finding that everything is beginning to come together. And we'll be being able to see the whole picture of what God has been doing throughout the ages. And we're coming into our own. We're coming into, just like we've heard a little bit about energy and frequency this weekend. You know, there's so much frequency going on all around. You know, right now, today, there are, who knows, millions of all kinds of different waves going through the air. Right here. But yet, to be able to hear a particular frequency, you have to be tuned into it. And it's only in recent years that we've begin to understand that God also is a frequency. And to be able to hear Him, you have to be tuned into it. You have to have your tuner, your intuition. There's been some talk about intuition this weekend. The only way you'll ever really know God is through intuition. You'll never know Him through the intellect. You can't find God in the intellect. And nothing wrong with the intellect. There's nothing wrong with intellectual knowledge. But you won't find God through intellectual research. You will find God through spiritual intuition. Until we begin to hear God intuitively, I don't know, you know what? I don't have the words. Like you say, the any language of the world is so incapable of describing our intimate feelings and our intimacy with God. The greatest expression in the world is what? Light, love. And when we realize that the true essence of our being is just that, it's just light and love. And God began to teach me as a young Christian practical ways to get rid of this egocentric being, how to deal with anger and resentment and bitterness, things that most Christians are still full of. And the reason that we're still full of those things is because we don't really know who we are. And when we begin to know who we are intellectually, then we have such a conflict because we know that we are manifestations of God on this earth, yet there seems to be such a mixture within us. There's this bitter and sweet together, which cannot be. But when we begin to realize that we truly have the substance of God within us, and we have to learn to go by our intuition, by what we really know is truth. And when I really know the truth of my being is love and compassion and light and all the essence of God, but all of this other stuff is going around in my ego and my intellect, how do I deal with that? How do I deal with anger? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You don't like your life? Tell another story. I love that song. Because I began to tell another story back in the early 70s. I told another story for several years before I really had a life change. But I told the story. When I got angry, I'd say, Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so mad right now, but I'm so thankful that I know there's another life in me. And God, I know that as I turn, we used to call it turning to the Spirit. I know that as I turn to the deepest recesses of my being, even though I'm experiencing this anger, I know, Father, that there'll come a day when the compassion and the essence that I know that's in my being, I know that's what'll be manifested and come forth. You see, whatever you're experiencing, you can talk another, you can tell another story. I used to spend a couple hours in my room at night, all by myself, and I began to tell another story. I'll tell you folks, it's so true. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What story are you telling? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is your testimony? What story are you telling about yourself? Are you looking at the failures and the inabilities and the anger and the resentment? Is that the story that you're telling? I told that story for 13 years almost. Well, I changed my story long before that. But my story used to be one of failure. God, I'll never be able to measure up. Because I know me more than anybody. And I know that I have no ability to walk this life that I know that's so available. But when I begin to go by my intuition, by my deep knowing, I knew that I knew that I knew that I had met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I had experienced this love that would come to me in my deepest failures and minister life and love to me. God does not ever look at your failures. He looks at the light that you are.
Yes.
And if you'll allow him, if you'll repent and change this mind and realize that you are the most precious being, you are so much more than you know.
Amen.
You're so full of light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you have to begin to walk in that light. And realize there's nothing wrong with you when you begin to see all the spots in your life. You know, if you can see your failures, and you can see what we call the spots, or you see everything in your being that's wrong with you, you need to rejoice. Because there's millions of people in this world walking in darkness, have no concept. Many times I share it this way, that, you know, if you would turn all the lights out in this room, you'd be in darkness. And you couldn't see anything that was wrong. But if you turn the light on, you can begin to see all the blemishes and all the spots. And when you begin to see those things in yourself, you can thank God because you're walking in the light. And you don't need to condemn yourself. You just need to realize there's something in me that's greater than all of this stuff that's wrong. And the more I focus on what is my being, and I begin to tell another story, it will begin to change everything about you. We need that song so desperately.
Amen.
I told the band yesterday, I want that song. I want that song. That song needs to go out.
Amen.
If you don't like your life, tell another story. And when you begin to tell another story, your mind will come in and say, you're just lying. You're just lying. That's not your experience. But you tell another story. You see, because we don't tell the story according to how we feel. We tell the story according to what we know the truth is. We tell the story about the truth of our being. And know now, not just intellectually, but know that He that is in me is greater than anything in the world. Greater than all of my negativity. Greater than all of my anger and my fears and my resentments. There's a substance in me that's great enough to rise up within me and overcome all the negativity and all that is. You see, it's never been about us at all. The story isn't about us. And when I say us, I mean the human thing that we thought we were. That's not the story. The story is about the one that is greater, who rises up within us as the conqueror. And the one who raises up in us and who is all-inclusive and all-embracing. Somebody said to me a few years ago, Gary, you just have some people on your website that shouldn't be there. I know your heart is a heart of love, and I know you want to minister to the world, but you've got some people on your website that are just plain New Age, and you're not going to be able to reach people. And I said to this person, well, you know, if I took everybody off of my website that I got complaints about, I'd have to take you off. But see, when you become all inclusive, you'll realize that all of us are on we're on a different path. Each one of us is unique.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, because I was so hungry, I have mingled with New Agers, and I've mingled with Buddhists, and I've mingled with all different sorts of people. And you know what I found there? I found a lot of craziness, but what I found is they're all looking for truth.
That's right.
And the best way you can find the truth is to follow your heart. And even if you're being led into deception, sometimes that's necessary for you to find out that's not where the answer is. So I never discourage people from looking in any place and anywhere, because you need to find the truth. And until you search for the truth with all of your heart and put everything into the search for truth, you'll never find it. A lot of people were so discouraged, and a lot of Christians thought this message of the secret was straight from the pit of hell, straight a deception of the devil. Yet Jesus Himself taught those truths. And of course, you can take any truth and use it wrong. But Jesus Himself said, whatever you ask for, And he didn't say just ask for, you know, certain things or spiritual things. Whatever you ask for, if you can believe it, you can receive it. Now, you can get into materialism with that, and if you believe it, you'll receive it. But see, if your heart is after wealth and riches, and you can believe, convince yourself and believe that you can have what you say, you can come into riches, but you might find out that's not really what you wanted after all. Because all the riches and the success and all the money in the world will not satisfy the hunger that you have. Because the hunger that you have is not for fame and wealth and recognition. The hunger that you have is to become one with your spiritual being. What you want is a marriage of spirit and soul. I found him whom my soul doth love. And once you find that true essence of your being, you know, you don't care for anything else, but yet everything else flows to you as you need it. That's what Jesus meant when, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things, they will just come to you. Carol and I, we are so blessed because we have no needs. We are so blessed. You know, at times it's looked like that we'd end up in the street homeless. I mean, we've been there, but yet we've never had a need. We looked like we were going to have a need, but God has always taken care of us. We lived for, I don't know, probably a year, both of us working, but yet not even making enough money to live. And we weren't in ministry. We didn't even make enough money to pay our rent and utility. And we didn't make enough working together because we both had, you know, like minimum wage jobs for a while. And this hadn't been that long ago. But every month, God sent different ways. We don't know, but every month, God made the lack that we didn't have. So we know. We don't share from intellect. God will meet your need. And even give you a lot of stuff you want. Just get rid of this thing. This accuser of the brethren. That accuses you before God day and night. Not in the heavens, but in your own being. Your mind will accuse you day and night before the essence of your true being. Lying to you and convincing to you by your experience that you're never going to make it. But when you really know the truth and it drops from the intellect into your heart, you can tell a different story and know that it's going to happen. And it may take some time. It's like Barbara was sharing, the gap between what we say and what we experience now is a broad gap, but it's closing. Closing. I have never been into materialism. Oh, I mean, I would love to be wealthy, but that's never been my goal. Carol and I was laying in bed one night. You know, I've always loved big cars. I've always liked big cars. It's just something I like. And I was laying in bed one night, and I've never confessed for material things. But we were laying in bed one night, and I told Carol, I said, God's going to give me a Cadillac. And it wasn't, but two or three weeks later, we were in a meeting in California, and a brother came to me, and he said, you know, he said, I know you've always liked big cars, and he said, I want to sell my Cadillac. I said, oh, brother, I can't afford to buy a Cadillac. Well, he said, I just thought I'd offer it to you. He called me the next day, and he said, Gary, God was dealing with me last night, and he told me I'm to give you that Cadillac. You see, you really don't need to confess for things, although, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. But if you go, oh God, there's a fire. I understand you. There's a fire in my being. More than anything else in all this world, I want to manifest. I want to fully incarnate in this being. That's my goal. God told me many years ago, there will come a day when you will fully manifest my glory. I'm experiencing it to a degree, as we all are. But it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
I am so thankful for this weekend.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I spent years crying because I could find no one who understood unconditional love. But people are beginning to understand it. I love to hear Barbara say, when my friend called me and told me she was gay, I had no feelings of rejection or resentment. We're in a place, oh my God, we're in a place of non-judgment.
Yes.
And that's the only way we'll win the world, is through unconditional love. And embrace. I met a guy, Carol and I, just a few weeks ago. The man, he was as gay as you're going to get. And he spoke. I'm telling you, there was so much light came out of him. And he only spoke for 10, 15 minutes. And when he was finished, I said to him, full well knowing, you know, the lifestyle, I said, brother, there is light coming out of you. I don't understand that. And see, years ago, my mind would have brought me that night and said, oh, that's deception. That's an angel of light. But we don't have to, you know, when you understand love, that's the only thing you have to understand. And if you need to change, there's no way I can help you if I'm judging you for what you're doing or where you're living. I can't help you if I judge you. But if I can speak life and light and love to you, you'll change. We've had so many testimonies. I'll tell you, folks, all over this world, we've had testimonies of people saying, I've read one of your books and it changed my life. I've heard you speak and it changed my life. The soul. What more could you ask for than to be able to help humanity discover the riches of their being? What greater reward? Riches, all the riches in the world, does not compare to love and to being loved. People have said a lot of things about me over the years. You talk about rejection. We have been so rejected, but we've never suffered rejection. Never suffered rejection. You could say a lot of things about me, but you could never say I don't love. Nobody could ever accuse me of being unlovely. If you want love, just begin to love. If you don't feel like being lovely, you see, love is really not an emotion. It can become a great emotion, but love is really not an emotion as much as it is an action. And if you will begin to act lovely towards those, especially those of what you consider your enemies, if you begin to act in love towards them. See, this is the kind of, we've had this experience over and over and over again, because you can't do anything to me that would cause me not to love you. It's impossible. And that love is what changes the world. As Jesus hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, though they don't know what they're doing. You see, and that's what God is bringing us all into, is to have a heart of understanding, knowing that nobody would do anything to you except out of ignorance. And if they're ignorant and they don't know any better, how can you hold it against a Christian who would call you an angel of light or a demon of deception if you know they're only doing it out of ignorance and they're only trying to protect their flock? That's all pastors are doing that comes against you. They don't want their people hearing you because they feel that you're an angel of light or a demon of deception. How can you blame them for that? They feel responsible for their people. I admit they shouldn't. And they're taking the place of the Holy Spirit in the people's lives. But they don't know any better. You see, when you're a true shepherd, you realize you don't have to protect anybody. Because all of them have to find God in their own way and on their own path. And all you can do is hinder them by trying to control them and tell them what to hear, what to listen to, what to do and what not to do. All you're doing is taking the place of God in their lives and hindering their spiritual growth. So when you come into unconditional love, you give everybody the freedom to believe what they want, even if it's wrong. And you know what? What you believe will affect you whether it is right or wrong. But it's not my place to tell you you're wrong. It's my place to love you and minister to you. And if I feel you're wrong and I have the liberty and the freedom of spirit to counsel you and share with you and you don't agree with me, I still love you and realize that you're on a path. And God eventually is going to lead you into the truth. And all of us need the experiences that we've been through. There used to be a lot of talk about brokenness years ago. I'll tell you what, until you're broken. The shell of the seed, the shell is the outer man. And until that's broken, the loveliness of God cannot come through. So we all go through experiences to break this shell of the outer man. And it can be hell. And it can be a fiery trial. But that's why the scriptures say when you fall into these different things, count it all joy. Because the fire that you go through is what is going to purify you and cause the seed in you to burst forth. And the beauty that we see coming forth in each other. Oh, I see this fiery redhead. The beauty that comes out of Ruth. And the beauty that comes out of each of you. Even sitting in your seats, you don't realize. The beauty that we see. And the anticipation that rises up within us as we look at each other and realize the potential that we all have. And that is so evident here this weekend, the potential that we have as we come together and meet in such a liberating freedom way that we've had this weekend, the liberty and the freedom that we've had. We're beginning to see that one new man stand upon the... I want to share something too about oneness, and I'll stop. You know, oneness, we talk all about we're one, and yet, how can we understand that? Because, I mean, there's a multitude of us here. How can we be one? You see, we're not one in quantity. We're one in quality. Oneness is in quality, not quantity. We're one because in the essence of our being is the one, but that one is manifested in the many. Isn't that beautiful? It's the quality of life that makes us one. I'm so thankful to be here this weekend. Lynn, I'm so thankful for, boy, you helped open my book this weekend. There were some things in me I didn't understand, and you helped me. You helped open my book. And all of our books are being opened, and when our books... We used to think that was a horrible thing. Although I'll stand before that great white throne and the books will be open. And oh God, we begin to tremble. But see, what's happening is we're becoming naked. Adam and Eve in the garden were naked. There's many levels of truth there. But to me, naked means that I can stand before you fully exposed and reveal myself to you without any shame. Because let me tell you, folks, we're beginning to enter into a dimension where we won't be able to hide. The dimension we're entering is that we are becoming crystal clear.
Amen.
And you won't be able to hide. That's a fearful thing, but see, it's a wonderful thing. Because you may not realize it, but you really can't hide from some of us now. Because we can see into you. But you see, we have a righteous judgment. And even though you become crystal clear and we can see into you and we might be able to see some of the things that you wish we couldn't, but because we see, we can minister. And we can speak to that seed that's in you. And we can bring forth life in you that you can't bring forth in yourself because you don't yet realize the truth of your being. So we're beginning to stand on a crystal sea, having the crystal clear waters of life begin to flow. Oh, it's so wonderful. Aren't you excited, Barbara? See, that's the truth of unconditional love. And I'm so glad God wouldn't let me share much on it until I became the message. There's such a heart. I know when I say, you know, the heart of God is to embrace all of humanity and reconcile them back to Himself. He's already reconciled. It's that now we are reconciling to God. We are helping people understand this unconditional love and bringing them back to the Father. So, to end this story that Carol was telling, I sent this brother the letter and the check, and he wrote me back a letter, and it wasn't really a nice letter, and he said, I can't receive money from you, because to me it would be like, you know, receiving it from an angel of light or from a devil or something, but... Before this brother died, he called me up, and he was weeping, and he said, I am so sorry for what I've done. He said, I still don't agree with your doctrine, but I was so wrong, and he was so repentive. And so I jumped on an airplane, and I went back to see him, and we had such a reconciliation. And see, when you love this way... What do people do with this? I don't agree with you, but you know, I love you. And that's all we need. We need love. You need love. I need love. And what you believe that's wrong, I don't care. I mean, I want to help you, but what you believe doesn't affect me. We just need to be loved. We all have... I bet if we would all share what we believe, all of us would have things that I can't believe what you say, or I can't believe this, but we can love and embrace one another. Amen.
Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, please write Gary and Carol Sigler, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, 135 Chinquapin, that's C-H-I-N-Q-U-A-P-I-N. PIN Drive in Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Our telephone number is area code 912-275-8585. All of our messages are distributed on a no-charge basis as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution.